Page 166, New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words of wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not in human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen to the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Chung Hee Ministry, for coming to minister to us. Our service today will be a bit longer. If you need to go at a certain time, I won't feel offended. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and enlighten your people. Give us understanding of your truth, that we may be set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Pastor Greg mentioned that the book of the 70s on God is probably Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Do you remember those days? I recall that during that time, books like Evidence That Demands a Verdict was also popular. The Corinthians could probably identify with us then, because they also emphasized on using their intellect. Under the Greek influence, the Corinthians enjoyed debates and philosophy. The Jews, on the other hand, relied on their senses to understand the world. They need to see, hear, or touch to believe. In the Bible, we read again and again how the Pharisees and the crowd asked Jesus for a sign, for a miracle. There's a saying that a good Pharisee would not believe anything unless he sees it with his own eyes. Maybe that's why Paul said in the first chapter, Jews demand signs, Greeks desire wisdom. If Paul was to be here today, what do you think he would say that people in Hong Kong seek? Probably both, and more. Hong Kong is known to be cosmopolitan and diversified. There's no way we could guess what Paul would think of Hong Kong, but I know one message he would bring. He would say, I will not start a seminar on the power of positive thinking, nor will I attempt at flowery words and sophisticated thoughts. I decided to know nothing among you but Christ and Christ alone, the one who was being crucified. Is Paul not being relevant? Is he being difficult? Or will it be that the crucified Christ, the cross, is what they need and what we need? It's what will solve their problems and our problems. William Farley, in his book Outrageous Mercy, says, "The cross is our teacher. The cross is a window through which we learn everything we need to know about God, humanity, wisdom, worship, the purpose of suffering, the purpose of life, and a host of other issues. If you knew nothing else but the cross, but you knew it thoroughly, you would know everything essential for this life and the next. The cross is not just through which we are being saved, but it's by which we are informed how to live." But then Paul's argument suddenly shifts direction in the next session. After insisting that he preaches nothing but the cross, he talks about wisdom for the mature. What is going on here? Has Paul forgotten what he just said? Is he contradicting himself? Is he backtracking and qualifying his position? Let's not make a judgment yet and read further. Paul said, "Is it wisdom you want? Fine, let's talk about wisdom. But I'm not going to talk about wisdom of this age, a fad that will change the next decade, a popular wisdom doomed to passing. What I'm going to talk about is God's wisdom, eternal and everlasting. It is a hidden secret. It is a mystery that goes deep into the purposes of God. It is something that God in His infinite eternal mind devised before the ages to prepare for those who love Him. You will not get it in school or in any secular teaching. Nor will you learn it by deep and profound thinking on your own. You will only receive it through the revelation of the Holy Spirit." What is this that Paul is talking about? What is this that God has planned long ago, yet no wise man, enchanters, Pharisees, nor Jesus' disciples knew of until the Holy Spirit reveals to them? What is it that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him? It is the cross, the very thing that is considered scandalous and foolishness to the world, but it's the power of God to save those who believe in Him. The cross is the ultimate expression of God's love. God Himself suffered and died that we may live. The cross is the wisdom for the mature. God redefined wisdom through Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. Paul is truthful that he preaches nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Through the cross, God continues to prepare for those who love Him what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart conceived. By His crucifixion, He sets us free from fear. Fear of not being accepted. Fear of uncertainty. Fear of suffering and fear of death. The cross gives us strength beyond understanding. Real peace finds its way into our lives as we remember what Christ has done for us on the cross. A Sudanese Christian boy had his knees and feet nailed to a board and left to die. And when rescued, he said, "I forgive the man who did this to me because Jesus was also nailed and He forgave his enemies." A Vietnamese pastor was sentenced to 2 years in prison. When he was offered an early release, he declined and said, "I have a group of new believers in prison I have to disciple." A Colombian missionary was kidnapped and told that she only has 2 hours to live. She said to her captors, "If I only have 2 hours to live, I would like to spend it telling you about Jesus." How amazing. Where do this courage and strength come from? The cross has now made forgiveness, love, freedom from fear of death possible. Perspective and behaviors are now radically transformed. The cross is more than something through which we are saved, but which we continue to live by and under. John Stott says, "The cross is not just a badge to identify us and the banner under which we march. It is also the compass which gives us our bearings in a disoriented world. In particular, the cross revolutionizes our attitudes to God, to ourselves, to people both outside and inside the Christian fellowship, and to the grave problems of violence and suffering. But God's wisdom is not philosophy, but prophecy. Not through rhetoric, but by revelation. Revelation by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can comprehend what is truly God's and make it known to us. The natural mind is incapable of understanding God's designs. The unenlightened mind rejects God's ways as foolish. How can we understand the wisdom of God? How can we have spiritual discernment and see beyond what the eyes can see?" Remember, there was an incident recorded in Mark's Gospel about Jesus healing a blind man. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. The background of this incident is that some Pharisees came to test Jesus and ask him for a sign. And Jesus grieved that they have the Son of God right before them, yet they did not believe and need to ask for a sign. How blind were they to the truth? And someone took a blind man to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal him. And verse 23, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and gently led him to a place where they could be alone. Can Jesus heal him right there and then? Why did he take the trouble to lead him out of the village so that they can be alone? If we want to truly see the things of God, the first thing we must do is to get away from everything and everyone who would distract us and influence us to stay being blind. The noise and the unbelief of the crowds often kept us from being set free. We need to be alone with God so that we can hear and understand His will. And before we can get alone with God, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us aside, away from the red rays of life, to have time to hear what the Lord has to say to us. When was the last time you set aside time to wait upon the Lord, to hear what God wants to say to you? Jesus then did something very unusual. He put saliva on the man's eyes. Matthew's Gospel said that he mixed spit with clay and put it on the man's eyes. Either way was a strange thing to do. But that's the second thing that must happen before we can get our spiritual vision. We have to allow God to work in us in His own way. Don't try to put God in a box. Don't try to tell God what to do. Surrender your will to His will. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and then pay attention. The spit and clay are symbols of God's water of life acting upon this vessel of clay to bring us back in line with God's will for our lives. It has to be done through the watering of the Word of God as it works on this body of flesh to help us understand. For the first time in his life, the blind man could see. He could see men walking around. His world of total darkness was now flooded by light. When a soul comes to Christ and his spiritual eyes are opened, the whole world looks different. He can see and understand things in a whole new light. Suddenly, the truth appears behind the lies and deceits, and he's able to understand why things happened and the root cause of many issues that were unclear before. Have you experienced that? You will if you surrender yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you by the hand. But the blind man isn't there yet. There's more to the story. The blind man could see, but his vision wasn't clear. Man looked like trees, shadows, or outlines. Though he could see, he didn't have clear vision. Jesus touched his eyes one more time, and this time, the blind man could see clearly. Men were no longer trees. He could see them for what they really were. That's the way it is in the realm of the Spirit. We cannot see clearly the things of God until we allow God to touch our heart and soul and opens our spiritual eyes. We cannot perceive and understand the will of God until we submit to the Holy Spirit and let Him reveal to us. A Malaysian couple sensed God's call to be a missionary in China. They went and worked as English teachers. But shortly after they arrived, the wife discovered that he had cancer. She could not understand why God allowed her to have this illness when they received such strong confirmation to go to China. But she remained joyful and continued to witness wherever she went, at school, as well as in the waiting room of the chemo center. Many students, teachers, and other patients came to know the Lord through her. She believed that God would heal her, but no chemo drugs seemed to be able to stop the growth of the cancer cells. She knew that her days were numbered. But she was such a strong-willed lady that in her last few days, she refused to sleep because she was afraid that she would not wake up. She could not understand, and she wrestled with God. But on the evening before she returned to the Lord, she smiled and said to me, "God is good. He has answered all my prayers." She got it. She perceived and she realized that God may not use her the way she expected, but God had used her. Through her illness and death, she had glorified the Lord. During her lifetime, she bore many fruits that last. At her funeral, a young teacher who came to know the Lord through her announced that he decided to surrender his life to serve the Lord. Paul talked about the spiritual versus the unspiritual. He's not categorizing Christians by their spirituality or by their positions. What he's saying is that people who have received God's Spirit have a privileged understanding of reality. They have the mind of Christ. Remember, Christ for Paul is the crucified one. To have the mind of Christ means to participate in the pattern of the cross. If you want to be mature, if you want to be the one with spiritual understanding, remember the love on the cross. The love that reached out to us when we were hostile to God. Let your mind rest in Christ's passion and find in his sacred wounds the home it longs for. Take refuge in those wounds. those precious scars, and you will feel in all your troubles a deep sense of consolation. Basking in the amazing love Christ has for us, all the criticisms, contempt that we receive become pale in comparison. Remember what Christ has done and continues to do for and with us. He is the grounds and the power for our peace. The wisdom of God is manifested definitively in the death of Jesus. Today's message is not about how to achieve peace. Today's message reminds us that being brought into being by the cross, Christ gives us every reason and reality to work for peace, to enjoy peace, and to be people of peace. Amen. Let's rise. We will not have a response song. We will not have a response song.